Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
It's a Disruption Zone. I am Leland Conway. We got Councilman Anthony Piacentini on here today to talk about Metro Council passing a resolution for Louisville to be 100% renewable energy by 2040. This actually, if they were to do this, because it's the largest city in the state, it would affect all of Kentucky. And I've done the math on this, and it's staggering what it would cost all if LG&E were to shift the burden to all of their Kentucky customers. It is staggering what it will cost you. So wait till you hear that. We'll have that conversation coming up here in just a minute. First of all, though, this presidential election is going to be epic. And I'm just going to play you a piece of audio here that explains why it's going to be epic. Here's Joe Biden in New Hampshire, and he's having this exchange with a potential voter who is, by the way, plenty Democratic. These are not people who disagree ideologically. Listen to what Joe Biden has to say in this exchange with his voter.
The performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
It's a good question. Number one, Iowa's a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't even know what a pony soldier is. Anybody know what a pony soldier is? Wow. He told a woman she was a dog-faced, lying pony soldier? Can you imagine what the media's reaction? Because we've seen it. We know what the media's reaction is when President Trump has said things like this. But this isn't some public figure who's accosting him publicly. This is just a voter asking a pretty good question. If you can't take Iowa, why should we try? But the insult here goes much deeper because she's from New Hampshire. And New Hampshire, while they don't have official caucuses, they essentially use a very similar to a caucus system in all of their local governments. They do primaries when it comes to national, but their local governments are as caucused up as you can possibly get. So he basically completely affronts this woman, calls her a dog face, calls her a pony soldier, a liar, and the media's just like, anyway, this is their best bet, okay? Their best bet just called a potential voter a lying dog-faced pony soldier. I think we're going to get 4 more years of Trump. I don't want to go out on a limb here, but I'm just saying. Oh, my gosh. All right, Louisville Metro Council passed a resolution last week that is probably the stupidest piece of legislation that they have ever done. And that's saying a lot because they do a lot of Mayor McBike Lane and his Oompa Loompas on Metro Council. They engage in a lot of stupidity. But last week's was definitely one that would take the cake. They expect the city to be fully powered by clean energy in no more than 20 years. I've done the math on this and it's staggering. I want to bring in Councilman Anthony Piacentini to tell us more about this particular piece of legislation, this resolution, if you will, and welcome him to the program on the Disruption Zone. All right, Councilman Piacentini, the WDRB story about Metro Council passing a resolution that would call for a transition to 100% renewable energy by 2040. Frankly, sir, this might be the dumbest thing, and I know it's hard to actually quantify the dumbest thing Metro Council's ever done, but this might actually be the dumbest thing that they've ever done. The cost of this is absolutely staggering.
Yeah, well, first of all, this is a resolution, which means that technically, legally, it is non-binding. And many of what's fascinating, if you go back and watch the debate, many of my colleagues, I voted against this, and I said it's not because I'm not against being in favor of looking at the efficiency, the energy efficiency of government buildings and looking to incorporate that into the facilities plan and understanding the cost benefit aspects of it. But even the people that were voting for it said, many of them said they knew we wouldn't be able to hit these goals.
Right.
And yet they were setting them. The scary thing about the 2040 goal, the 2040 goal is 100% clean energy goal. I'm reading this right out of the resolution quote, 100% clean energy goal community-wide by 2040. Mm-hmm. That means all private businesses, cars, homes, anything you can think of in 20 years. It is beyond absurd. My wife is an environmental scientist. I have friends that are engineers in the clean energy business. Every last one of them have said this is not possible.
Well, okay. So based on some of the research I've done, it looks like it would cost, let's just focus on just the utilities part of this, because this, remember, there's multiple parts. You just pointed this out. There's your utility bill, which is the energy that you consume in your home. Then there's the car, and there's the other things that all go into the energy usage. But let's just focus on the energy that Louisvillians use in their home. Mm-hmm. It, from what I understand, it would cost LG&E about $100 billion to transition to 100% quote-unquote renewable energy by 2040. Mm-hmm. If you divide that by 1 million people in the Louisville metro area, that's a $100,000 assessment, because you know they'll pass that on to their clients. They have to. That's $100,000 per Louisvillean. Now, if you divided that up over even 40 years, okay, that's still $2,500 a year, or roughly, you know, over $200 a month for each Louisville citizen in order to pay for this. Even if you pay it off, that's 40 years of $200 plus per month extra in their utility bills. If LG&E decided to pass that on to all of its Kentucky customers, and they're not the only power company in the state, but for sake of ease of math, let's just say all 4 million Kentuckians, you still have an additional $50 per month that it would cost. And that's just the section that deals with home utilities and business utilities. Imagine that cost multiplied for businesses and the amount of usage that they have. And this is ungodly stupid. I mean, I know, even though it's a resolution, that's insane math.
Well, let me make your math even worse. First of all, there's only about 770,000 residents of Jefferson County. Okay, so your denominator becomes even worse. It's right. Not a million; it's less than that. And then even worse than that, that's every man, woman, and child.
Right. Right.
Right. So if you're a family of four, that's not how many households.
Right. You look it down to households. Yeah.
Right. So divide that by like three and change, and that's how many households you have.
Right.
Okay. So that's how much worse, right? It's not like 50 or 100 or 200 bucks a month per household. No, it's worse. It's like 600 to 1,000 bucks
per household. And remember, that's being kind and dividing the cost over 40 years. When the goal is to get this done in 20.
The whole thing, to your point, the whole thing is beyond absurd. You wonder what's even worse. So you're focusing on the energy and you're focusing on the 2040 goal right past that. It doesn't give it a date. Doesn't say give it a date for when. But it says they want, quote, the revision of all building codes for new construction, which thank God is managed by the state, by the way, because if we were managing it, we would screw this up. To require energy efficiency, conservation, renewable energy applications toward a goal of net zero energy. Oh, here's the kicker, water and waste. Did you know the technology doesn't even exist to get to zero waste? My wife, before we moved here, was doing research at Princeton University's Environmental Institute, doing research there on green roof technology, renewable energy. Like, she's done the research on this stuff. Reclaiming water at a residential or building level is borderline impossible. Net zero waste, that is impossible. This stuff doesn't, the technology, even if you wanted to guess the cost, you couldn't even guess it because it doesn't exist.
That's how absurd this is. The science fiction that's being peddled here is incredible. You would have to have some type of technology that could turn matter into nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just not physically possible.
Well, and not to mention, let's be real here, okay? The same people pushing this, first of all, everybody that voted for this, none of them were like environmental scientists or engineers, right? They were largely lawyers and others that are scoring some political points. Okay, let's be clear about what just happened here. All right, nobody believes, even those that were voting for it on the floor at the time, that this is achievable.
Right.
So this is completely but here's the scary thing. Here's the scary thing, Leland. The Affordable Housing Trust Fund that we currently dump approximately $10 million a year of taxpayer-funded money into, that started as a resolution.
Yeah.
So when people say it's just a resolution, don't worry, it won't. If you think that resolutions don't cost people money, this is going to cost taxpayers money. And we have no idea how much, because nobody on the floor could answer it. We haven't done a cost study. There's no plan. I said, hell, show me one project that we've done, just one, on one building that we've even attempted to try this before we try to put together a 20-year plan.
Right.
And the answer is zero. We've never done it.
Well, and to your point about, you know, the resolution side of it, just the threat that these regulations are coming will cause businesses to begin to gear up for that. And in so doing, pass those estimated costs onto their customers. So again, this is where you break this down. We were just focusing at the beginning of this conversation on house utilities, and you did the math, and it was even scarier. But now let's take having to revise fleets, companies having to change over to a different type of fleet of car, and then businesses having to change over to different types of utilities and then different types of building codes, and all of that cost being then passed on to the Louisville or the Kentucky-wide consumer, because this is going to affect, it's the biggest city in the state, it'll affect the entire state. Here's the problem I have with all of this, and I bet your wife would probably concur on this. Look, I would consider myself to be pro-environment. You know, I know that I make fun of the whole climate change and global warming thing, but that's because I realize and I see through what it is. It's a total sham that's bent on basically stealing dollars and controlling freedom. The real environmental issue here is what's hilarious about this is that this quote-unquote so-called renewable energy, the technology that exists at this time, is not in fact renewable energy. It's displacement of carbon footprint. That's all it is. When we have to, we don't even have batteries that can store yet the kind of solar power that you would have to use in or to gain until in order to replace actual electricity fired by coal or natural gas. It doesn't exist, the ability to store that energy. And then in building that the batteries that we do have and the solar panels that we do have, we're having to offset environmental problems into other countries because we can't build solar panels in America because it's too environmentally devastating. I mean, all we're doing is moving the carbon footprint somewhere else. We're not actually eliminating it, and nobody seems to understand this.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. There is no such thing. There is no such industry, right? Let's look at a Tesla, right? The most expensive way you can try to be, you know, energy, clean energy and all this stuff. First of all, a very good friend of mine lives here in Louisville. He owns a Tesla, and his license plate says is one of the Friends of Coal license plate. because he said to me straight, I saw him the other day, and he said to me straight up, he's like, I'm not a hypocrite. I know where how my car is powered. And he's 100% right.
Right.
And in addition to that, think about how that car is constructed. Do you think that the Tesla factory and every aspect of their supply chain is clean, is energy renewable? That's a joke. They're doing to mine these rare earth elements that go into those battery packs within. I mean, you're talking about mining where there's borderline questionable child labor laws in those countries that are mining these rare earth elements.
Yep.
It is absurd. Like, and not to mention, I just went outside. I'll tell you what I did in the middle of the debate. I actually pointed at everybody, and technically you're not supposed to do this on the floor, but I pushed the boundaries a little bit. I said, please, does any one of you, anybody in that gallery, live in an environmentally clean way with 100%? Nobody, not one person.
Right.
You should go to the parking lot. The parking lot is loaded with trucks and fuel and luxury vehicles and stuff like that. One of the Metro councilmen, his wife drives a Tesla. He drives an old truck.
Right.
Right. I mean, the closest thing, two of them drive a hybrid. Well, what do you do? They still put gas in it because they know it's not fully electric.
Right.
Even an electric car is not 100% renewable all by itself. It's just, it doesn't use gas.
Right.
The whole thing is just beyond ridiculous. And I tell you what, we were saying about the investment and all that stuff. the other thing I said on the floor, I was looking at, you know, look, my district, District 19, is exploding. I got more money, businesses, companies, residences moving in than we know what to do with. Mm-hmm. Okay. All these underdeveloped communities in the West End, the South End, where people are vacating, right? And largely moving to the East End, honestly. Do you think that these underdeveloped communities, where we're trying to get businesses to dump their money, get businesses to invest, to clean it, to clean those areas up,
right,
to invest in business and new jobs and new residences and renovate those neighborhoods, you think they want to, what do you think this is going to do to them?
Right.
You know, as a representative of an underserved district, I would want to reduce all of the barriers to right. businesses and residences coming in. What do you think this is going to do to that? Well, what signal does this set?
That's a really good point, but let's think about the homeowners in, say, the more challenged neighborhoods in our community. Some of these homeowners, you know, you go to them and you say, guess what you have to do?
That's right.
You have to spend $10,000 to do all new insulation, all new windows, all new, power system. Right. You got to hook up to be, you got to put solar panels in. You got to hook up to be able to use different types of energy. And you're going to have to spend all of that money. It's probably more than $10,000. But I mean, no, they don't have that.
They won't. They won't. And I'll tell you why. The resolution basically also says they're going to ensure that those of low income have this subsidized.
So the rest of us will pay for it. Okay.
The rest of us will pay for it. Yeah. But here's the other thing. That's true. It's in the resolution. So the other thing is, I drove through the West End the other day. I drove past where they're building the new track, right? The new West End Stadium, the Urban League's been working for and all this stuff.
Yep.
It's great. The construction started. Terrific. Good for them. That area, the soil around there. Businesses have been ruining the environment in the West End for years and years, mm-hmm. right? And there are these old abandoned businesses that we need to clean up. Again, my wife has done more environmental evaluations of businesses, of these abandoned businesses in the West End than anybody probably in this whole city. So she knows. So we were driving past, right across the street from that is this abandoned old factory where, I mean, they used to dump waste there. It's horrible. You want to clean up this community. You want to actually have environmental impact. Let's invest and figure out a way to clean up that site and put a business there.
Right.
That would actually have environmental impact on the and improve the local economy and improve the quality of life and improve the property values, right? For that whole community.
Right.
Right. But just by taking care of that one piece of property, this will do absolutely nothing other than make it almost impossible for residences and businesses to thrive in the city.
It's really astounding. I know, and again, I know this is virtue signaling. Ultimately, that's what this is. This is nothing but a virtue signaling bill. But as you pointed out, you have to watch out for these resolutions, because what comes behind those are small regulations and laws passed one at a time, a death by a thousand cuts. So while we're not actually going to be legitimately 100% renewable energy by 2040, which is actually impossible anyway, but even moving in that direction, what you will have is tighter regulations on future building permits. You will have increased burden put on LG&E, which they will then pass on. You know, they're going to be forced to build more solar farms. These solar farms destroy habitat, and they cost an enormous amount of money. That gets passed on to customers statewide. All of this has that effect. Also, that Metro Council and, you know, Mayor McBike Lane can just do a little virtue signaling and pat themselves on the back over being green or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so for example, the fastest growing green energy engineering firm in the country, one of the fastest growing, it's like top five, is in Louisville. It's actually in Scott Reese District, Northeast Louisville. A very good friend of mine, and we go to church together, kids go to school together, is one of the partners in that business. They actually go to Nashville and to Western, they go to these governments, they go to old school systems and all that stuff and renovate their energy consumption to make them more energy efficient, but they're doing so in a way that is entirely economically sustainable. Essentially, the cost of the capital is 100% offset in the cost of their energy.
Right.
So it's cost completely neutral to their budget. It does move in that direction and all that stuff. I talked to him about this. He started dying laughing when he read this thing. And his business is predicated on doing this, right? This is what he does.
Right.
And he was laughing about how impossible this is, right? But even with that, we have one of those businesses in the city, again, Show me an example, one example, of where we've been able to take, even partnering with a business that is in this city, one of the top five growing engineering firms that specializes in this.
Right.
And we haven't even done one project. I said to them, I said, look, how about we start with a project, and then once that project is validated, we put together a plan. Here's the best part of the resolution. Councilman Cohen said, well, the resolution starts with, we're going to do an audit first. We're going to save some money, this couple hundred thousand in the budget. We're going to start with an audit. We're going to RFP it, and this person's going to audit what it would take and all this stuff. And then they're going to present the plan. I was like, oh, my God, how long is that going to take? Another 2 years by the time we get that plan and agree on it? Now you only have 8 years?
Right.
Because here's the funny thing. It's community-wide by 2040. It says that metro government operations needs to be 100% renewable
2030.
By 2030.
Right.
We have one of the biggest fleet of cars at LMPD in the city.
Right.
You think they're all going to be electric in 10 years? That's a joke.
I can't wait till the criminals are having to run from Priuses. at least they won't hear them coming.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. I got to tell you, I've almost been hit two or three times in a parking lot because you can't hear them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not looking, you just can't hear. But yeah, no, it's completely absurd.
How much is the audit going to cost?
It's going to be cheap. Well, it's cheap in government terms. What they're going to do is it was a little funky thing, but they're going to reduce a position someplace, but the cost of that position is going to pay for the audit and this other thing. So, I mean, they're doing that in a budget neutral way.
Right.
But you got to imagine it's probably going to be $100,000 to $200,000.
Yeah, anything the government studies, it's always $200,000. Doesn't matter which city it is, it's always $200,000 cost. I need to go into the business of studying crap for governments because if I do five studies a year, I make $1 million. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Oh, let me tell you how absurd it gets. I told you my wife has done more environmental studies and her individually actually on site has done the phase, what's called phase one,
right,
environmental studies. Before you do anything with it, with an old building, you got to do these phase one studies. She's probably done more individually when she was an environmental consultant than anybody in the city. Right.
Right.
The best part is that warehouse that I was talking about across the street from the track, she did that particular phase one study years ago. Now it's expired. So even if they wanted to develop that,
wow,
we move so slow as a government that we'll do a phase one. Then we try to do something with the building. We take so long that then we have to go back and do the phase one again. Okay. Because the time limit on it has expired.
So
that's how
dumb.
Ridiculous we are.
So dumb. So here's the thing that's maddening, I think, to a lot of listeners. You know, there's the resolution, the virtue signaling resolution passed 14-5. There's you and four others. How can the voters of Louisville put a stop to this foolishness? I mean, I mean the easy answer is vote these guys out, but it's way easier said than done. What recourse do we have for this kind of foolishness?
You know, obviously getting people that have more common sense in office is step number one. But the other thing is they can't let... You can't even let these things go. You know, the good news is, I think in years past, this probably would have passed unanimously.
Right.
Right. I think what's happened more recently is there are more of us that are willing to take on even these things that, you know, in a headline, it looks like Councilman Piacentini hates the environment.
Right, of course.
You know, like meanwhile, I do more in my personal life related to environmentally friendly and conservation-mindedness than any of these fools, right?
Right.
So but there's more of us willing to say, that I don't give a crap, frankly, what the headlines say about me. They could say whatever they want. This is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Citizens need to be very much in touch with and engaged with these absurd decisions. Meanwhile, one councilman actually said this is the greatest vote he's ever, most important vote he's ever going to take in Metro Council. Meanwhile, we have record homicides.
Yeah.
Right. We are not growing as a city commensurate with how some of our peer cities are growing. We have all kinds of legitimate environmental damage that we still haven't cleaned up anything about. We have all kinds of legit right now problems that aren't getting solved.
Yeah.
And yet a resolution that everybody acknowledges we can't do is the greatest vote that they will ever take.
Well,
I mean, so.
Yeah, I think a good way to wrap up the conversation is, you know, when I was a kid, I can remember what spurred me to hate littering was you remember those commercials, those PSAs with the crying Indian? The guy turned out to be an Italian actor, but you know,
right? Of course,
but that touched me on a level, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and ever since then, I've hated when I see people. I just want to like see somebody throw like litter out the car. I just want to punch them in the face. I'm like, what are you doing, you jerk?
Oh, of course,
you know, what we've done somewhere along the way is we've lost the aspect of environmentalism, and it shifted over because I think the left in America has figured out this is a great mechanism for control. Scare everybody with this fake global warming stuff. The climate is changing. There's no doubt about it. We're just not causing it. But in the meantime, we're still destroying the environment. That's the passion that I have. We're actually destroying the environment, and many of the quote-unquote environmentally friendly things we're doing are destroying the environment and destroying the habitat. You know, and that to me is terrifying because we're sort of whistling past the graveyard here without looking at the real problem. And you pointed out Louisville has very serious environmental issues. In fact, not only allergies, but also pollutants were one of the worst in the country. Part of it has to do with our geographical location, the way winds blow and all that kind of stuff. But then also the industrial work we've done in the city, a lot of that pollution just sits here. And we're not doing a damn thing to clean that up.
Right. Yeah, no, that's it. We have there's no focus on the efficiency and how we're cleaning up our own little thing. Jordan Peterson gave a great answer to a woman that's gone viral on YouTube about impacting these large issues like global warming, and basically said, fix your own life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your sphere will get larger and larger. I couldn't agree with him more. I couldn't affect my neighborhood until my household was taken care of.
Right.
I can't affect the city until my neighborhood is taken care of.
Right.
I can't affect the state until the city is taken care of. Let's start with affecting the city, with affecting our neighborhoods, doing the right thing locally, right? Things that are achievable, actionable, real, won't do damage to our environment or our local citizens. And then we can expand that out and say, you know, hey, we have a model that could work bigger than just Louisville, but we don't even have our own house in order. It's a joke.
Yeah, I totally agree. And people, if you want to do something about this, share this podcast so that people know how ridiculous this resolution was. I know you got to run. Thanks, Councilman Anthony Piagentini. We'll have you on again. Thanks for your time.
I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. All right. Lots to come this week on the Disruption Zone. Cameron Mills and I are going to debate whether or not we should legalize recreational marijuana. We're going to talk to libertarian writer Taylor Millard from hotair.com. He's a terrific writer. And there's a couple of things that we're going to talk to him about: the situation going on in Hong Kong and the protests that are there, and also why can't libertarians win big elections? That's all coming up on the Disruption Zone. Thanks to the Dynamics Productions in Lexington, Kentucky for their help with the production quality on the program. It's dxaudio.com if you have any production needs. And again, to my co-host and our co-executive producer, Cameron Mills. Keep up with us on Twitter. It's at Leland Show and at Zone Disruption. We're on Instagram at Great Lelando and at The Disruption Zone. And Facebook, it's Leland Conway and The Disruption Zone. So keep up with us there. By the way, you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts. Just download it to your app and it'll come straight to your phone. And also Google Play. So that's how you can catch The Disruption Zone. And also directly from our website at thedisruptionzone.com. Don't forget the thedisruptionzone.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Leland Conway. Go!